June 15th, 2016, Arizona City Fire District Regular Meeting.
Let's call this meeting to order. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is our regularly scheduled board meeting, June 15th, 2016. Present, we have Steve Ross, Roger Taylor, Betty Harding, Bill, somebody.
Thanks.
Bill Bailey and Tim McCain, Chairman. And yes, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming and being a part of our meeting today. And we'll move right on into the Fire Chief's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in front of me, you'll see the Fire Chief's Report for June. I'm just going to highlight a few things in here. For the month, we ended up with 33 items. First one I'd like to begin with is under four for training. The district's training for the month of May into June is hitting it hard from the yard. This is our host stream deployment at structure fires. This is something for our operational excellence program we had not done before. So it gives us practice in doing what we do every day in case we have a structure fire and or a large vehicle fire. And Captain Lopez, Captain Ethington, Captain Hemmings, and myself are conducting that training with the instructors on a daily basis for every day of the month of May and June. Number five, we partnered with Wizard Education to continue for in-house paramedic training. That training again is for 11 months. It's every Monday and Tuesday, and we have 10 months left. And just as a reminder, we have five people that are currently in that program. Number six, our key performance indicators again are being tracked for quality, productivity, and safety, which is something new that we're doing to look for our operational excellence program. And number eight, on the 23rd and 24th of May, I attended the Superstition Fire Medical District's Leadership Academy for Pinal County Fire Chiefs in Apache Junction. The course was highlighted with presentations from some of the best-known National Fire Service leaders and speakers, and it was an excellent course. And a lot of information we can bring back to the district and apply. And I've since shared that with the captains here on the department. On page two, under community service, during the month we assisted 28 citizens with smoke detectors, challenges, and battery installations, and home safety repairs for residents that were not able to perform that work on their own here in the district. Number 18, on 5/27, we held the Head Start Water Fun Day for the Ochanini Reservation. We had approximately 20 children participate from the reservation for that water day at the firehouse. Where this stemmed is we were contacted by the reservation. The reservation school bus comes out of Arizona City back to Ochanini every day, and they would pass us at the grade school when we did the water day. And the poor kids were like, oh, I would love to be one of those kids to be able to do that. So I was approached by the leader for the education system and said, if we come to you, can we have one? And I said, absolutely. And had it here, worked out really good. Pepper and Bill were a big part of that as well for the kids, and it worked out great. And these are kids that passed this for years that finally just thought they were going to give up, and we were able to have it here, and we got another one coming up as well. And then on 19, on the 31st, we began our summer activities program for Arizona City. It goes the 8 weeks of summer vacation. We partnered with Steve and the Moose organization. Steve is the governor. For support, and the event runs every week, twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 12. Many of you in this room are participating in that, and I tell you, there is nothing better than seeing those kids get wet and what it means to a lot of kids that have nothing to do all summer long. And I don't know, Bill, maybe, or Steve, if you guys want to make a comment on that, please do. But you know, a lot of these kids, it's the only activity they get all day long in the summertime, and we're also feeding them. So I thank the Moose for donating money to the meals to get that done. But for a lot of these kids, it's going to be the only meal they eat all day long.
Hi, Mayor Chief. I've been fortunate enough, I think, to have made everyone so far. And not only are the children excited about it, but the parents. We probably have 8 to 10, if not more, parents stay for it as well. They don't just come drop the kids off. And those parents have commented that this is probably the best thing to ever hit Arizona City. You know, they were just really happy to see that the fire district and the chief have gone beyond our call of duty, so to speak, to invite those kids to to come participate, and as I mentioned earlier to one of our staff, that I think the relationship that those children have developed with our firefighting crews and the chief is just amazing. Those will be the ones that down the road will pitch in, whether it's just information, or who knows, eventually maybe go through an academy and become a member. But, you know, it's just been a real thrilling event. It's been a good event. I think the fire district absolutely took the right step when it decided to go that route. And I commend all of you for the fine job.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on that chief meeting I'm going to bring up, maybe we do a food dinner over there, raise some more money to help several people that volunteer to come in there to help. Cindy.
Absolutely.
Billy Jean.
Robert.
Robert, myself, my wife's doing it Thursday, so or tomorrow, so hopefully we can raise some more money somehow. We're going to bring it up in the meeting tomorrow.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It all helps, and as you said, I mean, I tell you, some of these kids, it's pretty special to you know, to see their smiles on their faces, to make sure they come there and see a friend that they haven't seen since they got out of school. So it's pretty special for them as well. Down to 25, on the 19th of May, I attended a CABA annual strategic planning meeting. This, again, is that filler system that we provide opportunities for the students to come and ride with us. Again, give an application so they don't get all the way through CABA and find out this isn't a career for them. So we've opened up a seat for them on every shift to have a rider come in and meet with us, and we've converted a lot of those kids over as well, too. 28 is not highlighted, but I want to let everybody know I'm working on some new business opportunities to produce more revenue for the fire district. I like to kind of just leave it at that. There's some stuff that we have that's proprietary right now, but we're looking for some more revenue sources to come into the district. 29, I met with Verizon, and it was identified that we were not on a corporate Verizon user package for our phones, so I converted that over this month, and we're going to save 20% a month, and also gives us unlimited data, so we'll never have to worry about going over that as well. And at 30, we're working to refinance our ladder truck loan payment. The current rate we have is too high, and we've been paying a higher interest rate, so there's better negotiation rates out there right now. So I'm working with the bank to get that reduced. That'll save us thousands of dollars in interest as well. And the next thing I like to talk about is last month, a couple comments were made from the board that were captured in the paper, and I want to talk about those today and some of the significance behind those. So the sheet I just handed out is really our 2014 and 15 data rolling forward. On the left-hand side of that sheet, you'll see basically how the department was running before my arrival. You'll see the members' titles in the left-hand column there, firefighter EMT, firefighter certified paramedic, EMS coordinator, and captain. Under the old system, we only had two people on shift, and a majority of the time, these were very new firefighter EMTs with less than a couple months on the job that were routinely covering this district every single day. And then occasionally, for less than 5 days, we would get paramedic coverage from our side. There was no EMS coordinator at that time, and we'd have slight captain coverage as well for less than 5 days. Prior to that 2014-15 cycle of new members, you're going to see they added absolutely nobody in there, but we had a plethora of members on a waiting list to go forward. The next column is really critical for us. You're going to see the starting pay for our firefighter EMTs, our firefighter paramedics, our EMS coordinator, and our captains. Those were the rates that were here when I came into office. The next column, you'll see the benefits, and you'll see the benefits that were provided to those members. And then you'll see the probationary period. This probationary period was very long, most of the time above the upper limit that you see there on that sheet, and would go on without a regimented program to go forward. In the last column, you'll see on the left-hand side is educational assistance, and you'll see what was provided there. Since my arrival, you'll see the right-hand side of the sheet, and this is after March 9th of 2015 forward. All of this occurred in 2015 budget cycle, the 2016 cycle, prior to the March meeting. You'll see that we have now four members on duty at all times. There's at least two firefighter EMTs or a firefighter engineer. There's at least one medic, and in many shifts we have two medics. We have at least one captain or shift lead position, and on many we have an EMS coordinator. The next column you'll see the collective amount of members that we've added since my arrival, which is 15. And in that next column, this is the starting pay. So for example, our firefighter EMTs in the old cycle would start at $9 an hour and be held there for 2 years through a non-regimented program. Those same individuals now are starting at $12 an hour and are going forward for a very limited amount of time before they're brought up at an even higher rate. Our paramedics are starting at $13 an hour, our EMS coordinator is starting at $14 an hour, and our captains are starting at anywhere between $17 and $19 an hour. So you'll see that that's collectively somewhere between $4 and $7 to $9 an hour for all the ones that I've raised salaries for prior to our March meeting in 2016. In addition to that, there was no benefits provided for any of these members. Now each of these members have medical insurance, which costs us about $7,000 annually apiece for each of those members. The probationary period that was from 18 to 24 months, and in many cases much longer than 24 months, is now 6 months or less, is a documented process, and if you have documented experience, it's much less for that. So for example, our shift lead today is JC Holiday. Documented 10 plus years of full-time experience. His probationary period was basically 4 shifts, so we could gauge his expertise level through all the captains, and he was off of probation. So in the old system, he would have been at $9 an hour and held there for probably 24 months. So it just didn't make any sense to me. So that's really accelerated and rapidly advanced the payments to all our members going forward. And then the educational assistance moving forward, for our firefighter EMTs, this is the $8,000 paramedic program we have them in. For our firefighter CEPs, we have one that's in a CNA RN program that helps us with our community paramedicine program. For EMS coordinator, there's a $1,000 instructional certification program he's going in for his first aid and CPR. And for our captains, they're all scheduled, it's about a $2,000 IFSAC instructor one training course that does twofold. One gives them the tools that they need to be successful. And as I convert this room to an IFSAC training facility, I will need IFSAC trainers, and they will get IFSAC training wages for that process to go forward. So if you look down at the bottom, again, under the programs, this is what's really critical for me that we haven't had a conversation about and really kind of took me back from the last board meeting. First and foremost, our operational excellence program. We were not good at responding to calls prior to March of 2015. We routinely missed calls that we just didn't have the manpower to get to, or we didn't have the support to get to, or we didn't have the skill set to get to. That happened every day, and I don't think there's a person in this room that wants to be one of those calls or have your loved ones be that second or third call that we can't get to. And this is why it was so critical for me to bring on 4 people so we can respond to those calls. And we routinely handle up to 4 calls on a daily basis with no problem at all back to back. We just could not do that. We were lucky to get out the door on 1 call. Promotions, we've had 5 promotions prior to that March of 2016 meeting where we've promoted. One being 3 weeks after I started when I saw that our EMS group, which was 97% of our business, didn't have a leader. We had someone that was sequestered in that position for almost a decade that wasn't promoted in the system, that there was no rational reason of why we did not have a leader within the EMS system when it was 97% of our business. So that was one of the 5 promotions. Our heart fit physicals are the same physicals NFL players do. They cost us about $5,000, but these physicals routinely catch heart problems that people can go down to the hospital and get a catheter or a sheath put in and they're back to work versus having that famous widowmaker and we lose them. So it's a big cost for us. We put 12 people through that program, and it's $5,000 a piece to have somebody do that.
Who does that, Chief?
It's a company out of Phoenix called HeartFit. So they use
a physical.
A very, very tough physical. So very, very tough. But it finds everything that's wrong with you so you can make some corrections when it's still correctable. So it's all that prevention. And you know, for me, it's about that preventive maintenance to catch that in versus that reactionary maintenance to go forward. They've marched many people that have come in there feeling great, just got done running, find a regular heartbeat, find out they got a rear atrial block, and march them down, and they get a stent put in, and they go back to work like nothing ever happened. And those are the famous widowmakers that we run on all the time. So, you know, this is an investment into our people to do the right thing for the right reasons. But if you take that $4 increase per person that we have four people on every single day. So 4 times 24 is 96. You multiply that by 365 days a year, and you multiply that on average of, let's say, you know, $4, you're going to see that that inherent cost raise for our 2015-16 budget came to $105,000 to $120. So that's been increased in there from my arrival from this new system. Again, it wasn't budgeted, but we found ways to put that into our budget. Our medical insurance that we took away in our past and ended up giving people a dollar more an hour was not going to allow folks to get medical insurance. I don't think there's a person in this room that can get it for a dollar an hour. It's just not going to happen. So we put that back into the system. But for our 10 members, it cost us $70,000 to be able to do that for the folks that didn't have insurance. Our other members have insurance through their primary care departments, so you can't stack insurance. But this gave insurance to 10 of our responders that did not have insurance. So this has been a huge factor for us. In our educational assistance, we spent $60,000 investing in the middle of this organization to make them strong. So if you look at that collective amount of money that we've spent given back to the community prior to that March meeting, is $295,120 we've given to our employees, either directly in wages or directly in tangible benefits and medical insurance that allows them to be successful and allowed us to recruit a better quality and caliber of workers that just could not come for $9 an hour for 2 years or more with absolutely no benefits. So because we haven't had a conversation about this, this is important for me that I think you guys understand the work that's been done over the last 15 months to try to do the right things for the right reasons and bring our pay up. Are we where we want to be? Absolutely not, we're not. But I have to start where we're at, and I think we've taken a big swing at this with the budget we have. The 5% increase we're asking for, this budget goes directly into salaries, and we're going to continue to try to bring this to be fair and equitable wages across the board for every member that we have.
I'd just like to make a comment as a board member, especially one that was kind of misquoted in that news article. Just because a board member asks a question of the chief, even a pointed one, doesn't mean that we're angry at the chief or that we don't trust his judgment. Actually, just the contrary. Since I've been on the board, I don't think there's been a single request that the chief has made to this board that we haven't voted unanimously to give him. So this board stands behind the chief. That was never the issue. The problem is, someone recently reminded me via text message, not sure how they got my number, that the chief works for the board and the board works for the taxpayers of Arizona City. We're the ones with the fiduciary responsibility to make sure we don't bankrupt this system. And the chief has certainly helped us avoid those kinds of issues. But one of the problems I have as a board member, especially new one, is I don't have all the records. I don't have your original contract letter. I've never seen it. It's never been offered to me. I don't have some of that long-term knowledge, and I certainly have never seen this. And although I've raised questions about that in the past, one of the problems I have as a board member is walking in, being asked to look at something over a 5-minute review and then vote on something that can have thousands of dollars of ramifications to the fire district. And I'm finding that very, very difficult to live with on a continuing basis because, you know, we're just kind of saying, well, the chief is for it, so I'm for it. The problem is if we got sued as a board, my saying in a court of law, well, that's the chief told us, something is not going to go very far. I'm still the one, and Steve is the one, and every board member here are fiduciary responsible to the court system at some point, and so we have to take that seriously. Anything I've ever said has never been directed towards our chief, because I'm a firm supporter of this chief, and I think he's done a bang-up job. But we still have to have the right to ask questions, and I think that that's still valid. I wish I had seen this before we had that meeting because I had no idea. It's not fair for the public for me to come in and have private conversations with the chief and find these things out, when in fact this really should be public information. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at with it. I don't know how we resolve that as a board. This kind of continuation of walking into a meeting and being expected to vote on thousands of dollars of either compensation or whatever, and having 5 minutes to review it. That's just, that's difficult for me to do, especially without the background.
Herman, if I can make a comment.
Go ahead.
Two things. First of all, as a point of clarification, I think it's important that our public understand that this board has not given this chief carte blanche approval on every request with regards to his contract. The reason we haven't seen a contract is, number one, it's still in development. Chief is coming to us and saying, this is kind of what I'd like to have. How do you feel about that? We talk about it. We make a decision. So there is the original contract, but we're in the process of going forward with solidifying a new contract, and we can't comment on that until we get that contract in place. I want to take exception to your comment about figures that you see here with regard to employee wages. That's none of our business. We don't have legal access to employee wage information as a public entity. That's between the fire chief and the employees. What we have jurisdiction over is that total dollar figure that appears in the budget. Okay? And I personally feel, as a director, if an employee has an issue with what they're making per hour, that is settled between the employee and the fire chief, not an employee and the board of directors. Okay? So I just want to make it clear as to my position on that particular issue. I know it's a difficult time because information got out and was circulated, and I'm with you. I don't know how these text messages came about today, but obviously there's some information being leaked somewhere, and I hope that it ceases immediately and that we can go on and carry on as a board. I think at this point, I'll backtrack real quickly to a comment that was made in the past, and that was, well, you've got to take care of employees before the head of the organization. And I don't disagree with that. I just, in my opinion, feel that, first of all, we made a radical change in March 2015 by bringing on Chief Heaton compared to what we had in the past. It took the board, I think, that year's period of time to realize that what this gentleman brought to us on paper actually happens. I remember a gentleman that stood up in the audience when we were going through our issues in the past and said, well, you're going to bring in a chief that's probably going to require three times as much in salary and so on and so forth, and it's going to break this district. That's always haunted me, okay? That's always haunted me, especially when we gave the chief that increase. However, with that in mind, what I'm saying is to find a chief with the credentials that Chief Heaton has, to find a chief with a vision that Chief Heaton has, to find a chief that is able to stimulate revenue into our fire district aside from taxpayers is extremely exciting. Basically in summary, I just think that, I wanted to make sure we could solidify his position, and as he mentioned earlier, address, our employees in the future. And he just stated that, the 5% increase in our next salary, or next year's budget, will be directed for salaries. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, anyway, here we are today. We've moved forward a lot over the year and 3 months or whatever it might be, I think. And I think we just have a bright future ahead of us. And Roger, I entirely appreciate your comments because it's a good mind stimulator. And I think everybody on board has that same commonality. It's just we don't have an opportunity but once a month to sit down here and convey that to our staff and our public and the remainder of the board. So I commend you guys as board members also for the job you've done since you sat on this board.
If I may, the public might not be aware of the fact that we cannot pick up the phone and say, I don't understand this. Will you explain it to me? I can't call Bill and ask that. We cannot basically talk back and forth amongst each other any place but right here. And that's why some things don't exactly always come out right.
Yeah, my sentiment is exactly.
Well, and legally, two of us can talk.
Yeah.
Three of us cannot. Three of us or more cannot talk together. We can't send, I can't send the rest of the board a text message and ask a question. But I can call Chairman Tim and say, Tim, I don't understand this. What can you tell me? And he and I can talk. Now, question is, can I convey that to Betty? No. Can I convey that to Roger? No. Steve? No.
And I can't do the same.
And he can't do the same. He can't convey that information to anybody else on the board. So for clarification, that's exactly right. That's how that works. We have to be very careful.
Open meeting law is kind of a pain in the butt.
Well, the Attorney General...
it's important, but it can
the
be...
The Attorney General's office knows this fire district board, or at least a couple of them. due to some past situations that we really shouldn't talk about or bring up. But anyway, as you serve on a board like this, you learn right from wrong, you know, I have a few regrets of some of my actions in the past as a director, but I think we're headed in the right direction, and I hope that those of you that are in the audience can take a step back and just think about things in the past and what might happen in the future and support everybody the best we can. That's all I've got.
Am I out of line asking when your contract might be completed?
While we're waiting on the insurance stipulation, if you remember from last meeting, we've been denied two insurance plans.
Right.
For the amount of scheduled hours I work a week, so we're trying to get an insurance carrier to fix us up.
And we'll be talking about that in a few moments.
That's correct.
Okay.
Business, so.
Just.
Let's go on. Staff reports. Chief, you want to walk us through those?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for the month of May, from May 1st to May 31st, we ran a total of 127 calls. Of those 127 calls, we had two fires, 81 EMS calls, 7 false alarms, and all of the responses being smoke area, lockout, pedestrian assist, and motor assist come for 37 for a total of 127 calls. We had 0 injuries for the month that you'll see on the second page. Again, for that process, if you go to the third page, you'll see a breakdown of the EMS calls. Again, for the 81 EMS calls, one of those was a rescue EMS other. We had 10 emergency medical services calls, 69 EMS calls, excluding vehicle accidents with injuries, 1 motor vehicle accident for a total of 81 calls from there. And our public service calls were 31. Good intent calls were 6. False alarm or calls called off once we're in service were 7 for a total of 127 calls. Of those 87 EMS calls you'll see on the next sheet, you'll see that of those 87 calls, they broke down to 56 medical treat and transferred care to a Southwest ambulance. 6 were treated and released at the scene. 21 refused care once we were initially called to the scene. 2 were no treatment required from the time we were called at the scene. And we have 2 that unfortunately were deceased at the scene once we arrived for a total of 8. And then the page you'll see on the last page you'll see, this is our fractile response times. Again, our 90% fractile response time was 6 minutes and 16 seconds. Our highest response time was 13 minutes and 38 seconds. Our lowest response time was 0 minutes and 0 seconds for a patient that walked on our front door. And our average response time was 4 minutes and 24 seconds. So you come back that I always look at for me for part of our key performance indicators is what drives that highest response time. And that 13 minutes and 38 seconds was a call we were staged on. We staged 6 blocks away plus line of sight. These guys got it quoted down for science because I ask them every single day on a call where there was guns drawn and there was shooting going on in the scene. So we staged for those calls. So on an average, we staged for some of these calls for a long time before PCSO can clear the scene for us. So our highest response time for May was 13 minutes and 38 seconds. Numbers a little too small. But that's what we're going to see on those because we're staged for those for a long time. We've had some calls we staged for 48 minutes. It's just we can't go into the scene safe. AC Holiday led as a shift lead. Call we had back on the 11th, we walked in and there, you know, the sheriff gave us a code 4. We walked in, there was AR-15s out, handguns out, shotguns out. That's not a scene I want our people at. So we immediately extracted ourselves from that call and stage. And I think on that one, we ended up bringing a gunshot victim to us several blocks away and we ended up flying that person out. That was in the middle of 5 calls. So they were on a response call for a chest pain. We got another call kicked out. We split and divide. We had a third call. I came back in off duty. It was late in the evening. We kicked out on this one. They brought the patient to JC as a shift lead. He made a decision. The patient was critical, had to be flown out. I cleared the first or the third call, went to the LZ to run the LZ for the fourth call. We flew them out. They were still on scene waiting for additional victims, and we kicked out for a welfare check. That was 5 things that happened just like that. And that's what we do now. In the old days, we just miss those. We don't miss those calls. It just does not happen. Our operational excellence is at 100%. But what drives us there is the fact that we have 4 people on and a working chief that responds 24 hours a day. It's the only way we can capture that. And that's why we have to build our response model to that 5th and 6th person. It takes more revenue of what we're working on as we're driving forward from these places. Okay.
Any questions? Great job, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving on to correspondence. Do we have any correspondence?
We do. We have 2. I see one's in the crowd with us here today, so I'm going to read Janice Miller's card here. I'll get my glasses. So it says, Dear Chief Heaton, encloses a donation to the wonderful Arizona City Fire District for all they do, especially for the help with the issue of my house. Captain Ernie Lopez guided the crew as well as spent time himself, and everyone came to my rescue to help me with my home issue. Also, I want to offer my professional knowledge and implementing a healthy lifestyle class for the fire district and provide food samples for each of the shifts. Thank you very much, Janice Miller. So I don't know, Janice, do you want to say anything or?
No, just I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone.
And we have another one that says, Dear Arizona City Fire District, you are awesome. Thank you each for all who assisted with my daughter on May 1st, 2016. I know in my heart of hearts, without their help, she could not have been in better care. Their knowledge concerning patients were unbelievable to my daughter. Thank you so much, and really thank you is not enough. Without these services, where would we be as residents of Arizona City and be for helping in the times of presence of needs of seeing us in our West Window? Great job. Thank you for all you do. Support from our Arizona City Fire District. May God bless each of you and everyone here. Oh, that's from Penny Murphy.
Thank you very much. All right, consent agenda. My mouth is not cooperating today. Consent agenda. All the items under the consent agenda will be approved under one motion unless one of the governing board members pulls an item for further discussion. Have a motion to accept the consent agenda, or does anybody like to pull anything out for further consideration?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as it stands.
Okay, and that's Betty Harding making the motion to accept the consent agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Steve Ross. I almost called you Steve Brady. That was previous Steve that was on the board. Yes, Steve Ross, second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is passed. And moving on to the call to the public, we do have one yellow card, Marcus Brewer, if you want to step up and talk.
So, how are you?
At the pulpit.
I gotta stand up there?
Sure. You can't be all official.
You're gonna make this official.
This just got real.
You don't mind cameras, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to take a minute and say thank you to the board, thank you to the chief. I was hired here March, beginning of March I started. Left a really a poisonous situation, previous employer. I also left a previous fire district that didn't do the amount of training that we do here. So leaving there, you didn't really feel safe in the job that you were doing here. We've changed a lot of that, and it's been a great situation. Brought in a lot of people who've been training us. JC Holiday over here is one that, I mean, the amount of knowledge this man has brings it to the table. It's pretty awesome. So terrible at speaking. So a lot of the changes that have happened have been really good. Mr. Bailey, you spoke about the water day and how great that program's been for us. We've seen a lot of kids out here that they don't have anything to do. We're talking about how in the future these are the ones that are possibly become firefighters as well. Another thing is there's a lot of kids out here who they've been raised not to like uniforms and really changing that perception to them. Plus, we have a ton of fun with those kids. And the other topic that we really touched on was responses around here. I came from Southwest Ambulance, so we were the primary coming down here most of the time. We'd show up to calls and there'd be nobody. It would just be us. And then what brought this kind of to light was last night we had a pretty critical patient who actually did stop breathing on me. I was working part-time at Southwest, so I was the transporting unit. If it wasn't for Nate being there, that guy would not have, I don't think he would have been breathing by the time I got there. So the changes having the staff that we do has been really epic for what we carry out here. So that's all. I just want to bring that to light.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
I walk away from this. This is.
Good pressure.
I'm okay with you talking. You're bigger than me, so.
He runs every day.
You might fill one out at the end, so we'll have it on hand, and they can file it. But you can go ahead.
I'll use attention for JC. One of our staff members was at Dr. Sanchez's office, and the nurses were commenting about how good looking our staff members were. They want to know who the big hulky handsome guy was.
Anyway,
you ought to see all the calendars.
So I'm JC Holiday. I just wanted to take a minute and talk to you folks. I spoke to you before when Chief was in here trying to get some more money out of you, and I was absolutely for it, and I'm still for it. I don't know the details on the article. I read it. It was sent to me right away when it came out in the newspaper, and I can tell you this: it's toxic. It caused a lot of problems in this department.
You bet.
There was people in the department chopping it up as soon as it came out in the newspaper. And the first thing I could tell people when I walked in the door was just shut your mouth. If you have a problem, go see the man. Don't start telling everybody else about it. Those things, I work in the city of Casa Grande full time. I wouldn't call it a big department, but it's bigger than this department. And that's the kind of stuff we deal with over there. And before that newspaper article came out, I never dealt with anything like that here. It was a pleasant place to come in. That article changed a lot of things in this department. Not good. Definitely not good with all the things that go on around here. That water day is absolutely, it's incredible. If you haven't been to it, come out. When you see them kids running around smiling, having a good time, it's really, really nice thing to see. For me, I get paid 2 hours to go out and hang out in the water, so it's pretty fun. We do a lot of training now. We didn't, when I got here, there was not a lot of training going on. We were piecing things together. The chief has implemented basically a 30-day training policy. So whatever the training is for the month, you do it every single day. If you work here 15 days that month, you'll do it 15 times. We all do it. Everyone's taking part in it. Guys are coming up to a much higher level of performance. We had a fire, chief gave you the numbers this month, and we had a fire a couple weeks ago, ridiculous fire. It was a log pile on fire, and we had 4 guys, and it was hell. I ain't gonna lie, it was terrible. Casa Grande, I had 16 people helping me. We had 4. We had to stop action of the firefight and come back and get another truck. I mean, it got to put out. We did it, but at the same time, those kind of things can be accomplished quicker and more efficiently with more training, which is what we're working towards now. We're doing a lot of things here that they do in bigger departments with a lot more resources. So the drill we're doing this month, if you haven't seen it or haven't been out here, it allows us to flow 500 gallons of water like that within about 4.5 minutes, which is a lot of water on a fire. And if it's your house burning, it's going to give us a chance to not give you a foundation back. Maybe you have some house standing up. So it's a lot to do with only four people. It does give us a chance to be successful. So we got a lot of good people coming through the department now. Still some that need to go. Absolutely, there's still some that need to go that don't have the right attitude for the place. The pay still sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. It's terrible. But it's getting better. It's going to get better. And I think with the right attitudes and the people that are coming through here, guys like Brewer, who we just hired over here, was just talking to you, this guy's motivated. He wants to be here. He's one of your full-time firefighters here. He's got a family. He's got kids. He's got people he's got to feed. Can't do that on $13 an hour. So, you know, he's given up a lot to come here and work. For me, I got a full-time job. It's part-time. I would like to make more. Obviously, everybody wants to make more money. But at the same time, you know, this guy having insurance and stuff like that, it's super important. And he cares enough to get him insurance. That hard fit for duty physical, we get the same thing in Casa Grande. I would never give that up. That's the best physical I've ever had. We get it every single year, and it's worth its weight in gold. When you come out of a physical like that, you know where you stand 100%. Are you working out? Are you taking care of yourself? What's your blood look like? Everything about it. Do I have colon cancer? Do I have prostate cancer? Am I in the range for it? And for you guys that don't know a lot about firefighting, that's a big deal for us. I just attended a BSO safety class in Phoenix with a firefighter up there with 25 years, and he got colon cancer because he didn't wash his gear. He sweat, and the sweat would run down his back and into his butt, and that's the most venous part of your body, and he got colon cancer. Not good. The guy came in and showed us pictures of the surgery and so on. That's not something that you want, ever. Nobody wants that. You go to Heart Fit for Duty, they can tell you have that. So it's nice. It's nice to have. But basically, that's the things I just want to talk about. I want you to feel comfortable that what you're doing or what you're voting on that you said you don't know about in 5 minutes, there's a lot of good things going on here. And I would say 98%, 99% good things. There's still that 1% of some people that need to go, but the majority of things are very good, very, very good. And you can rest assured. Come out here and watch. We'll talk you through what we're doing. We'll show you what's going on. And if you don't know, we can explain it to you. And you'll see how hard the work is. You know, we're going to go out drill here as soon as this meeting's over. It's still 100 degrees outside. We're going to put that gear on. If you've never had gear on, it's a real treat. That's all I really want to say. Chief, also one more thing. I'm one of the medic students that he put through, which is absolutely unheard of for a part-time employee to be offered that. I'm very appreciative of that. You know, Chief refers to it as a raise for the 10 months that we're there. We're getting that medic school. You know, it's paid. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I'm responsible for it at the end of the day if I don't finish, but it's still a lot of money that y'all put up front. And I really, really appreciate that opportunity. It's beneficial to me. It's beneficial to your department. It's beneficial to my department I work for in Casa Grande, because I'm going to perform as a paramedic everywhere. So thank you for that. Well, and I know the other students in the class are not in here, but I'm sure they would say thank you as well. We all also, matter of fact, we lost an instructor yesterday. He died, young guy, 38 years old. So thank you. Like that, the rest of your family today. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I have. And thank you for your time. And if you have any questions or you ever want to talk to me, I'm around.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
If I can just make a real quick comment to everybody in general, get off my soapbox here for a moment. First of all, it's not the board's intent to go out and question every employee about how the job's going and what's going on and so on and so forth. So I personally appreciate hearing from all of you, and I know that you are coming up front to us on your own free will. You're not coerced into doing that. But it's kind of nice to hear that from you guys, and you are special to us, and I feel special in knowing that you know how to do the belly belly crawl. This guy was just amazing the other day. He's out there under the tower flowing water, doing the belly crawl in about 4 inches of water with five kids in front of him, all playing ball. And those kids just loved it. But so thanks for being an integral part of that activity.
All right. Move on to old business. Go through this pretty quick here, probably. Chief, 2016 general election information.
Yeah, just a reminder for everybody, our IGA, our interagency government agreement, has been filed with the county. It's now up to election period. We have three open spots. Those are board member Bailey, board member Harding, and board member Taylor. Those filings have to be in no later than August 10th to get that into the system. Right now, I think we have two filings, if I'm aware of, that we have as current. So if we have just the three, we don't have to do a general election. General election costs us about somewhere between $6,000 and $8,000. That comes out of our budget. But if we only have three, we don't have to do it. If we have more than three, then we have a general election. It's just part of the process. And we have those dollars allocated in our budget. So just remind them that August 10th is the deadline. If paperwork's not in by August 10th, you cannot run for that position that will go to the open status. After that, our general election, early voting begins 27 days before the election. For our general election for November 8th, which is what it'll be, it'll start early voting. We'll start 27 days prior to that, or October 12th. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Moving on to old business item number two, the budget.
So again, if my name's on it, it's really you guys' responsibility. The budget went out. We posted it for our 20 days. We posted for 30 days just to make sure we don't miss a paper cycle. We've also, it doesn't have to be in the paper. It just says it has to be posted in two public spots. We do it on our website. We do it on our public board out front. We do it at the public board at the post office. We even have used the water district board before, and we've also used the paper going before. There's no requirement to be in the paper, but we do that because we've always done that, the process. But it's a pretty expensive cost for us to do it. So going forward, I don't know if we're going to do that or not, but I wanted it to be as our second budget to make sure it was as transparent as it was for our district, and everybody has the numbers and where we're investing it. So we will probably continue that process for a while. But we need to vote on our budget to either accept it or schedule a secondary meeting if we have questions on that budget to get that budget into the county by our deadline.
What's the deadline, Chief?
The deadline is the end of the month.
End of this month.
End of this month. End of this month. It has to be there by the last business day by the close of business. Right. So what? That's a good point. Thank you. So even though you think we're approving our budget, it is a proposed budget that we're proposing to the assessor's office at the county. They will in turn decide if it becomes a final budget for us moving forward. So what you're doing is actually approving our final proposed budget to go to the county. As we've said in our budget meetings and we've gone over that, we have everything was within the standard that we have to our requirement or below that as far as what we can ask for. We asked for a little bit on the FDAT tax, but it's where we've been. So statistically, we're right where we've always been. But remember, we added about $32,000 of assessed value that came from $802,000 of limited property value. That brought in about $32,000 for us by staying at zero. Last year, we had a 0% increase, so we're asking for 5% this year, which will go right back into salaries to address some of the concerns, more than what we've previously talked about in here, that allows me more tools in the toolbox with the revenue streams we have to try to get our wages up even better than what they are in this next budget cycle. So that'll put in about another $64,000.
You guys like to do?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that this board accepts the final proposed budget for the 2016-2017 fiscal year.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second? Well, I will second that motion to approve the final proposed budget. I was going to give other people a chance to talk because I get to talk all the time, but you know. So I'll second that motion to approve the final proposed budget for the 2016-2017. Is that what the budget is? Budget year. Any other questions?
If you want to.
Yeah. Question, anything? All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say aye. All right, motion is passed. So we will send that proposed budget to the, what is it, the assessor's office? Is that justice to take care of it?
Mr. Chairman, just as a matter of record, I only heard three affirmatives.
I heard four.
Did you?
Okay. I heard four.
Is that correct? Are we correct?
You can take
four?
A poll. You have the right to take a poll. Yeah, we can.
We can.
Steve?
I said yay.
I said aye.
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 Okay, so I guess we have a unanimous.
Unanimous. I heard at least four, so that's what I was.
All right, your ears are better than mine.
Well, you're like twice my age.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes,
go ahead. If you look at the consent agenda on page 48, if everybody could give me the pleasure of turning the consent agenda, it's tab 8, under page 48, you'll see that our total operating expenses for July 1st through May 31st, we're at approximately 89% of our budget, so left about 11%. Pepper and I did this, I think it was 2 days ago. We're roughly at 92% of our budget. But I want to get a couple of things in mind. When we took the concept of this 2015-16 budget, there was an approval by the previous board to spend $120,000 in a building expansion. There was no contract on that. There was no return on investment. There was no RFP. There was no project management plan done. We had received nothing when we approved about $120,000 to pull from our capital reserve expenses. I deemed that that was a non-value-added spend and it wasn't the right process to do. So as the paid fire chief, I brought it to the board, as you've asked me to do. And we put that $120,000 back into our capital reserves. Unfortunately, due to some damage done to the building to try to prevent that project from being stopped, we spent about $30,000 pouring some foundational concrete and putting new air handlers into the system. So, you know, that returned roughly about $86,000 to the capital budget expense. Where we've set up to do, we pulled about $101,000 out of our capital reserves as we wait for money to come in from our last payments, which we're anticipating to be Monday, for the balance of our budget, or if you can look through the consent agenda, you'll see it's about $64,000. So that $64,000, once we pull in, will be subtracted from that $101,000 of that capital budget we pulled out. Okay. So then your net yield about $45,000. I've renegotiated every single contract with every communication carrier we've had to be in our advantage, and now we've brought in roughly about $45,000 or $47,000 extra dollars from that, I believe. Is that what it is? $35,000 to $37,000. So even though we're at 89% and we're currently at 93% year to date as of the 15th of the month, we have one pay cycle left. We've pulled about $101,000 of our capital reserves just to make sure we can make our payroll, because we don't know when the money will come in from the county. Now, we in our history have never been shorted from the county, and I don't estimate it'll happen. And the 20th, we'll probably get that last payment before we start the year. But I think we need to take pause to say we've done all the things we've talked about, and we've rewarded our people, and the net yield still is probably going to be 100% of the budget. But we've had to move money to put money under different processes to come through. But it's been through the due diligence and the work of everybody on this department that we're probably still going to be at a net yield zero of doing everything that we've done. And you can look back on the previous page and see what we spent on payroll and see we're at 121%. So that 21% plus everything else we've had to do between buying tires, hoses, belts, recertifying tanks, taking stuff that should have been taken out of service and put back in, buying fire gear, bringing 15 people on, additional heart fit physicals, a different background check, you know, gear for them, uniforms for them, equipment, helmets, breathing apparatus, face pieces. We still are only at 89% of our budget, and that's no lack of, I mean, that's a yeoman's task to be able to do that collectively through that process. And we've done it through the expertise of people on it, and we've done some things that we didn't have a fathom we were going to start. The 42 engine that Dean's working on is only through his effort and his grandson Bruce's effort and guys off duty that we've bought parts for that. But Pepper and I figured out, I don't think we spent $2,000, but that's $1 million of press for us rolling down the street. And that guy there has donated a lot of time to do that. Important to look
thank
at.
You. Yeah.
really important to look at. And again, it's been through these tasks to be able to do that. And again, yeah, we pulled out $101,000, but we didn't spend that $120,000. We have got about another $60,000 in, so about a net yield of, let's say, almost $40,000. We put in already, put in $37,000 of real money, $35,000 to $37,000 of real money. But we have two more payments coming. We got another Verizon payment coming in, $1,400 and change, and we have another Airbnb payment coming in around $300 or $400. So that's yet to come in too. And we still have been able to do all the stuff we talked about here to come in. And I think we need to take pause as a board and a district to acknowledge the hard work from this staff that I've been able to lead through to get that done. And then now we're going to be able to do more next year because we're not going to have to incur all these things that put the wheels back on the truck so we can respond.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Heath, thank you for your hard work on that. I know that that's hours and hours and hours that you've spent trying to better this district and keep us financially responsible too. So I know that you've done a lot of work on that. Thank you.
Yeah, so one of the things we have to do since we accepted it, you'll see there's a signature required in our budget that as you approve the budget, our clerk and our chairman have to sign the document. We'll do it closing the meeting as well as a prelim or a precursor coming out that we'll extrapolate that out and it'll go to the county.
Okay.
And in resolution will tie to it as well, too.
Okay. Old business number three, discussion and possible action regarding Chief Heaton's contract. Chief, would you like to go to executive session to discuss this?
If we could, please.
Okay. Do we have a motion? I'll make a motion to go to executive session to discuss Chief's contract. Do I have a second?
Second.
And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We will move into executive session. So y'all get.
I can carry your mind because I get somebody.
All right, we are coming out of executive session back into regular session, we are down to new business, which there is none. And going on to our next meeting date would be July 20th, 2016.
What's the Tuesday before that?
12th. If we have agenda items, we need to get them to Pepper or Chief by the 12th.
To me, please.
To Chief, sorry, by the 12th. And other than that, do I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
I still make.
That would be Betty Harding making the motion, Steve Ross seconding it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So moved.